But first today, I want to welcome Catherine Day, who chaired the Citizens' Assembly on Gender Equality, which has just issued its recommendations. As you heard there in the bulletin, the Assembly agreed 45 priority recommendations covering areas including the Constitution, politics and leadership, caregiving, childcare, domestic, sexual and gender-based violence, pay and the workplace, and social protection. I need to take a breath after you just reading out what you were looking at, Catherine. Before we get to those recommendations, this Assembly was almost totally derailed by COVID.
Yes, it was, because we'd only just started our work when COVID hit. So then we had to regroup and think, either do we postpone it and wait till the COVID is over, or do we move online? And we decided to move online because I think our members felt post-COVID Ireland will be different, and they wanted to get their recommendations in on time as part of shaping that new Ireland.
And I know you have said yourself that COVID in itself threw a lot of the issues that you were discussing into sharp relief.
Yes, I think particularly the whole issue of care came very much to the forefront, understandably, because people were either worried about themselves or their loved ones, and we had several caregivers in the Assembly. And I think what worried people was that our society suddenly seemed not to give the value to care that the COVID was showing us was such a vital thing for all of us. And so there are a lot of recommendations about improving the pay and conditions of carers, whether they be child carers or those caring for older people or those with disabilities. And then also giving those who are receiving care more choice, you know, more possibilities to stay at home, more personalised care. And also for there not to be a huge change when a person, young person needing lifelong care reaches 18, that they don't have to reapply for all the services that they still need the day after their 18th birthday.
As you say, so COVID intervened. You had, I think, two plenary sessions before you had to take the decision to go online. And am I right in saying there was six Zoom meetings over the course of the last year?
Well, we actually had more than that, because we found that wasn't enough. So we had some evening sessions as well. What we did was we consulted some online education people and also some other citizens' assemblies. And we then pre-recorded all of the presentations, all the factual information the citizens were getting. And the poor things, we sent them out one or two videos a week to look at in their own time, so that we maximised the actual meeting time for discussion between the members. But then we found that if we were only focusing on individual topics, we were missing the kind of wider context of what is the Assembly all about. So we had several evening meetings as well to talk about, well, where are we going and how do we want this to happen? What kind of recommendations do we want to have? And the citizens were very clear they want to advocate real change, and they didn't want any civil service language. They wanted clear, sharp, focused recommendations so that the Oireachtas would be in no doubt about what they want.
And you're confident, are you, that there was enough time and space under the circumstances to deliberate on such an enormous agenda?
Actually, I do, because this is not a policy group and they are not legislators. They were asked to look at a range of issues and to tell the Oireachtas what they would recommend for advancing gender equality in Ireland. And you could go on for 5 years on these topics, but that wasn't the purpose. The purpose was to give the citizens time and space to be informed, to confront different ideas, and then to come out with whatever they wanted to recommend. And it was interesting in the process, a lot of the members would say their awareness of the situation as regards gender inequality was growing as we went through all of the different presentations.
Yeah, because I wanted to ask you in terms of that, because a lot of the votes are very strong in favour of the recommendations that came out, over 80%, over 90%, 100% in one of the cases I just saw there. So is that representative of, as these 99 citizens we are told should be, of the nation?
Well, two things I'd say about that. One is that it was a reflection of the process we went through. We started with over 500 recommendations generated by the citizens, and everybody realised we couldn't make 500 recommendations. So then we went into a process of refining them and trying to narrow them down to the real priorities. And secondly, people said the same thing about the previous Assembly and the Convention on the Constitution. And in fact, on both of those previous occasions, when the vote votes from the referendums were tallied, they were very close to the votes in the Citizens' Assembly. And
so it has proven in the past to be reflective of the national views on these issues.
Yes.
Well, let's go. You mentioned referendum there. Mm-hmm. And of course, one of the key recommendations coming out of this Assembly is the recommendations for constitutional change, Articles 40 and 41. Just very briefly, is there anything surprising in terms of what's been recommended there?
Well, I think it's not surprising that the citizens voted overwhelmingly to take out what's known as the Woman in the Home Clause. It is outdated for 21st century Ireland. But what is maybe a bit more surprising is that they didn't want just to take that outdated wording out of the Constitution. They want to replace it with reasonably very strong language on an obligation for the state to take reasonable measures to support care in the home and in the community. And I think that's partly under the influence of COVID, but also partly a growing feeling that we as a society don't place a sufficient value on care, and the citizens want that changed.
Another recommendation that will, and I see already in some of the responses on Twitter that now that these recommendations are public, gender quotas. And it's always controversial. But you're recommending going from the political sphere. We know they had 30% gender quotas for the last elections. You're saying this should be for all political elections and move to 40%.
Yeah, this was a subject that was quite intensely debated because not everybody was on board. Even at the end, the vote numbers are different on each of the components of this part of the recommendations. But the lowest vote was 75%. So three quarters of the assembly and upwards opted to recommend gender quotas. And the main reason is that people want to see change now. They think the pace of change is too slow, and that I think COVID again has shown that a lot of our public bodies and our public representations are not representative of society. Women are not as present in a lot of these areas as they are by terms of percentage of the population.
Public bodies, yes. Bodies that are in receipt of public funding, yes. Political. What about private companies? There is a recommendation in here that we should legislate to force private companies to have 40% of women on their board.
Again, that was the mood of the moment. There was a lot of debate about, will you get token women, and shouldn't it be the best qualified person? Again, I think the mood was, we want to see change now. Women should be represented. Men should be represented where they're underrepresented. So it wasn't only about women's rights, it's also about men's rights. Realistic? I think so. More and more countries inside the EU are coming to that conclusion that you need to make change happen if you want to see it happen. And our citizens also put in a review clause that this should be reviewed every 5 years, because if we reach those levels of representation, then we don't need to legislate for it anymore and we could remove that. But it's to get quickly to a different way in which we have closer to gender equality in Ireland.
What are the next steps now? What happens now?
Well, the recommendations are being published today, so everybody can have a look at them. We will do a report on the work of the Assembly. This was the first online Assembly, Citizens' Assembly in Ireland, so we want to talk about how we did that and also how our members felt about that. And the recommendations go to the Oireachtas. The Taoiseach has said that each recommendation will be given careful and serious consideration, so it will be up to the Oireachtas to respond to the recommendations. Some could be implemented quickly, some will take longer. We have recommendations going up to 2030. And even 2035.
The referendum, the constitutional change, would that require three separate referenda referendums to do?
Well, there are three separate questions, but they could all be asked on the same day. That's a matter for the Oireachtas and for the government.
Do you envisage that happening in the short term or medium term?
Well, part of the reason for having this Citizens' Assembly was that the Convention on the Constitution recommended in 2012, I think, to take out this clause in the Constitution. And it was never put to a referendum. But we think that now
Because, of course, there was controversy around whether it would just be deleted or we would include new language?
Yes, and the Citizens Assembly has addressed that question, and they are very clear that they want to delete it and replace it by a provision on care. And one interesting thing, Katie, I think that adds to the credibility of the recommendations is we polled the citizens on whether they were prepared to pay higher taxes to make a reality of their recommendations. And I must say, I think it's very interesting that they voted by 95% to say that if it was necessary to increase public spending through increased taxation to get these recommendations implemented, they were prepared to do that.
Of course, that's not the in relation to the constitutional change, but there are many, many recommendations in here which would be very expensive to the public purse were they to be implemented.
Well, not necessarily. There can be shifting of funding. I mean, take the example of childcare, where Irish parents are paying among the highest childcare fees in Europe. If the childcare was publicly funded, those parents would not necessarily be paying more in tax, or some would. But so there, it's not necessarily all going to go in one direction. But this is why we polled the citizens and we said, look, if you want your recommendations to be taken seriously, you have to say whether you would be prepared to pay more in the end for this or not. And the response was pretty overwhelming.
OK, well, we'll see what the politicians have to say about that, and we'll be getting more reaction on this after the break. But for now, Catherine Day, many thanks for coming in to us with that.
Saturday with Katie Hannan on RTE Radio 1.
And you're welcome back. And as you heard there from Catherine Day before the break, the Citizens Assembly on Gender Equality has issued 45 priority recommendations after a year and a half of deliberation. And I'm joined on the line now by Orla O'Connor, Director of the National Women's Council of Ireland. Good afternoon, Orla.
Good afternoon, Katie.
What do you sense now? You've an overview of this and you've been watching this very closely, obviously. What do you believe is the most significant recommendation to emerge from this Assembly?
Well, I think the first thing really, Katie, is I really want to thank the citizens, because I think they have done an enormous service to women's equality, to gender equality and to women's future in Ireland. I mean, these are absolutely groundbreaking recommendations that the citizens have brought forward, and they have sent such a strong and clear signal to government that women's equality needs to be at the centre of our constitution, our legislation and our policies. And when you look at the breadth of the recommendations, I also think, you know, it's an enormous credit to the chairperson, Catherine Day, and her team to have achieved this in these really difficult times. So I think we really do need to thank them for their service. I mean, for us in the National Women's Council, there are so many of the recommendations of issues that are at the core of women's equality that we have been campaigning for. But obviously, you know, very clearly today, there's a very clear message to government that we need to have a referendum on Article 41.2. That, and very importantly, and this was why the Women's Council actually campaigned for the Citizens' Assembly, because we knew that it wasn't enough to simply delete the clause, that we need to have a recognition and to value and recognise care. And what the citizens have said very clearly is that it does need to be valued and recognised. It needs to be in the fabric of Irish society. It needs to be in our constitution. And they've also spelled out very clearly how it needs to be in legislation, in policies, and it needs to be paid for. So I think, you know, there's a very clear message to government there on the need for the referendum. And they've gone further, because they've said the whole article needs to be looked at in terms of how we define the family, and that we need to recognise the whole diversity of families and not just one based on marriage. And I think, you know, that is absolutely groundbreaking, and we're delighted to see that today.
And when would you anticipate that this might happen? I mean, you're assuming, are you, that the government will accept these recommendations?
Well, I think, you know, there's overwhelming support. And I mean, I think it was really good to see it was absolutely unanimous in the Assembly, the support for this. So, yeah, I mean, what we would like to see in the Women's Council is, we know that these recommendations have to go into the Oireachtas, but we would absolutely like to see that everything is put in place to have the referendum. Most likely, I would imagine, in the start of 22, because we probably do not want to have a referendum in the sort of COVID pandemic. But there are many recommendations that can also be moved on very quickly. I mean, I think what's really significant in this report is when you bring together the recommendations, and clearly the citizens say this, that they want to see quality public services for all. They want to see public childcare. And they also want to see, which is critically important at the moment, a universal pension for all to end the discrimination against women in our pension system.
Is there, though, Orla, a certain bang of, you know, motherhood and apple pie out of this? Because obviously everybody would like to see everybody supported. But when it comes down to making choices, you know, and when you are making choices about where the taxpayers' money needs to be spent, that could be a different matter.
But isn't that so significant? And I think, you know, it'll probably be one citizens' assembly that will stand out from all, in that the citizens have made a very clear statement in terms of saying that they want different budget choices made. They want choices made that support public services. And they have said, and we're prepared to pay for it. I mean, Katie, I don't know how many times I've been on different, you know, programmes, campaigning for the National Women's Council and saying these things need to be done, and it being put back, oh, but people aren't prepared to pay. The citizens have said, yes, we are. But they've also said, and you need to make different choices, because they recognise that these are about choices. So there's some critical things being said here that I think it's really important that the government and our politicians really listen to, because this is a very strong message in terms of, and I think as well what it shows, as all of the citizens' assemblies have shown, is that the people in Ireland are well ahead of the thinking and of our political leaders.
Are they, though?
And they do know what they want.
Orla, I'm just looking at a text that has come into us from Jack in Dublin 6 West. Katie, let's be honest, let's be totally frank. The Citizens' Assembly is clearly representative of a certain liberal clique, but they are not representative of broader society. On this occasion, mainstream society will not be caught on the hop.
Well, I think that's clearly not true. And I mean, Chairperson Catherine Day has just outlined to you how the Citizens' Assembly is selected. So it is a very representative sample of Irish society. And also, and I think rightly, she has, you know, drawn attention to previous ones, and then when they have come to a vote, be it on the abortion referendum, be it on marriage equality, that actually the vote reflected what we saw in the Citizens' Assembly. So no, I mean, I think the process around the Citizens' Assembly and the way in which it is done is actually a really good reflection. It, you know, and it's an accurate reflection of where people are. But what it does show, and what is necessary on issues, is that, because the process in the Citizens' Assembly is that if you give people the opportunity, the time for discussion, for the deliberation, to see the facts and also to see the impact. And I think that was such an important piece, to see the impact that inequalities have. And you can see in their recommendations how they've prioritised groups like carers, like disabled women, like lone parents who are at most risk of poverty in our society. And they've said that those groups need to be cared for, the supports need to be there, okay, and we need to pay for them.
Okay, I just want to bring in Katrina Lynch now. Katrina is president of Coorum, an organisation for stay-at-home parents. Katrina, you have previously campaigned to retain this article in the Constitution, the Women and the Home article. Where do you stand on it today?
Okay, well, we would have a different point of view, obviously. And if I could just say, first of all, we were terribly disappointed that the Citizens' Assembly decided, by omission, not to ask us for our opinion. Because we're the only government-recognised body that deals specifically with Article 41.2. And so kudos to RTE and your researcher, Mary O'Hagan, who went to the trouble of getting in contact with us and asking for our comment. We were asked to make a comment the last time the Article 41.2 was considered for deletion and change. And we would like to think that on foot of our contribution, because we are the people who are mostly concerned specifically with this article, that the Assembly changed their mind and decided to leave the article in place. So there is an alternative point of view, but sadly the Citizens' Assembly didn't get to hear anything about it. And so I'm not surprised that they have opted to change, delete, or whatever it is specifically that they've decided to do, because they simply haven't heard our point of view.
And what is your point of view specifically, Katrina? Is it that it's fine the way it is, that it protects mothers in the home in a way that you would support?
Yeah, well, the first thing to say is for us to realise what we're discussing rather than what we are not discussing. We're not saying that women have to be in the home. This is an article which gives recognition and kudos to the work that is done by the mother in the home or the father. We don't have a problem with it being the parent in the home. And I think everybody in the country at this stage, post-pandemic, is very aware of what a challenge it is to care for children at home. And that any parent who is staying at home to be the main child carer for their children is doing very hard and very good work. And that we do believe the state should recognise the work that specifically mums and dads do in rearing their family and looking after it. And that, you know, that we should be, I'm sorry, I've interrupted you.
I was actually going to interrupt you, Katrina, because I think I know what Orla is going to say in relation. I'll just put that back to you, Orla, in terms of the people feeling that they're losing some recognition if this changes.
Well, I'm not sure if Katrina has had the chance to look at the recommendation, but actually, you know, what the Citizens Assembly have said is to strengthen and to insert in the Constitution to value and recognise care. And the wording that's recommended is to oblige the state to take reasonable measures to support care within the home and the wider community. So in fact, what, you know, if this were to be put to the people and accepted and, you know, and voted on, then we would have, for the first time, a real recognition of care and care in the fullest sense, because I think that the piece within the home and the wider community shows the consideration that the citizens have given, and also throughout the rest of the recommendations, because there is very strong recommendations with regard to valuing and respecting care, the types of supports that carers need, and taking on some of the issues that, you know, that you have mentioned, Katrina, with regard to, you know, just how difficult it is in terms of being a carer. And also, and I think it is a real added value, they have also spoken about the needs of disabled women in terms of living independently and having choices with regard to the care that they wish to receive. Okay. So actually, there's a real strengthening of care, and it's a really significant statement with regard to care that we have never seen before in Irish society.
Okay, well, let's see where we go from statements and what will happen in reality. Minister Jo O'Brien,
if I could just comment, Katie, on that, please, before
Katrina,
I finish.
Quickly, if you can. Thank you.
Certainly. I'm not talking about carers. This is a specific article that recognises parents and the work that parents do. Carers are different. They have a much bigger umbrella. I think it's very important that, and I would really be encouraging the government, you're going to talk to a minister now, that they would look at the draconian individual tax individualisation, which penalises parents who surrender their income and choose to look after their children themselves in the home. That's a piece of social engineering that is completely anti a parent who wants to stay at home and look after their own children. So I would be encouraging our government to elevate the wonderful work that parents do in the home, not just carers in general, but parents, mothers and fathers, and that would be elevated and kept in the Constitution. Not deleted and not diluted.
Okay.
Thank you very much for this opportunity to speak, Katrina. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Well, you heard Katrina Lynch, you heard Ola O'Connor. Minister, what is the government poised to do in response to these recommendations?
Well, just initially to welcome the report, I think most people recognise and accept that gender inequality, and particularly attitudes towards women, and negative attitudes towards women are reflected in a lot of our institutions and a lot of our policies and in every corner of society in many ways. So it's very good and encouraging, and I really welcome that the recommendations from the Assembly are very strong. We will be going through them one by one. We will be responding to them individually as well.
Specifically about the constitutional change.
Well, I welcome the language on carers. Green Party in particular have been strong on this, and we push for this particular type of language as well, and recognition of carers and carers' role as well. I also think it's very, very welcome that the issues that lone parents face as well have been drawn out and named in this constitutional.
Could we see this happening in 2022 as Orla O'Connor is calling for?
Gosh, well, that's difficult to predict. Obviously, at the moment, we're not planning any kind of electoral event. Potentially, but you know that's a big question.
What happens now? Because we know what happened previously when assemblies made recommendations for constitutional change. Is there anybody looking at this in terms of putting a committee in place and Oireachtas committee?
We started looking at it straight away, and we will give formal responses on each one, and it will go to the Oireachtas as well and be debated.
Right. So is that what we can expect, an Oireachtas committee to take this on and then bring us to a wording?
Well, government will give formal responses to each of the proposals first anyway, and then we'll take it from there. Obviously, committee procedures and capacity is restrained at the moment in terms of restrictions. So, I mean, it's not going to be nothing substantial happen this side of the summer, I think.
Okay, but today, with this recommendation, is it now inevitable that we're going to have a change to this provision, these articles in the Constitution?
Well, none of it is inevitable. These are recommendations, but ones that we will take very seriously. And I think previous citizens' assemblies record will show that government have taken them very seriously and acted upon them as well.
What about the quotas?
Yeah.
So this is moving from 30% to 40% and extending it to much greater realms than we're currently
Yeah, well, I
noted
in particular in relation to political parties, I think it's quite an important one. I think a lot of these other issues that come under the remit of political parties will happen quicker if political parties themselves move first as well. So I would welcome them. I would welcome them quotas and proposals.
And in terms of the childcare provisions, provisions for a universal pension, provisions for pensions for carers, there is a huge agenda there that would have very, very big implications for the Exchequer.
Yeah.
Where will the Green Party stand on those?
Well, as government, we need to assess them all and see where we can take them. I would say there are some of the recommendations that we have the ball rolling on them, in particular on the childcare one as well. I mean, it's been recognised and it is part of government's plan to bulk up the state involvement in childcare and improve that level of service to parents across the country as well.
Matt Carthy.
Yeah, I think this report, I have to say, and I've only read it while I was waiting to come into the studio, I think it's actually seismic. I'm really, really pleasantly surprised by the recognition throughout the recommendations that go beyond just gender inequality, which is very important, but there's a recognition that permeates right through this report of the issue of economic inequality that affects women disproportionately. But there are references here that don't require constitutional change. They require political ambition and political vision. The issue of the living wage, universal state pension, the permutation of the need for improved public services. In other words, this is calling for a different political dispensation. I was really interested to hear Catherine Day talk about the very clear ambition from within the Citizens Assembly that there will be something new as we emerge from COVID. And I think it's very reflective of what you will have heard Sinn Féin spokesperson saying in the Dáil, that this can't, while we're coming out of the COVID scenario, this can't just be about a return to the old order. We need to learn the lessons. You know, even the concept of the different terms and conditions for those engaged in care services, people who have obviously been increased in terms of their standing, the public model of childcare, something that would be just a completely new order and would be completely contrary to the direction that this current government are going on. So by and large, I welcome all of this. But of course, it's going to require political will and...
Oh, it's going to require a lot of political will because, as you say, some of these are very challenging.
Absolutely. And I was struck last night, if I can just say this, reading the actual wording of the current constitutional provision that says the state shall therefore endeavour to ensure that mothers shall not be obliged by economic necessity to engage in labour to the neglect of their duties in the home. Now, I come from, I was reared by a single parent. I can tell you that hundreds of thousands of lives would have been much better had that actually been taken literally. Unfortunately, rather than being taken literally, it was used to underline a culture and a permutation of gender inequality as opposed to actually providing. So this has to be much more about changing the rhetoric. This has to be actually going to the heart of how we manage the economy and our society.
Okay, I want to bring in Verona. Verona, thanks for patiently hanging on there for us. Verona Murphy. I just was talking to Catherine Day there about the quotas, the gender quotas, which I think will be a bone of contention for many people. And I can see it already even on the social media reaction to this. A lot of men and women indeed saying that this is a retrograde step.
Well, look, I don't agree. I think slowly we're getting to gender quotas, but what we don't want to see is a narrative developed that women are given positions because they're women. We need to ensure that gender equality and positions are filled based on ability, but ensuring that measures and requirements are in place to enable women to apply for those positions. And I think if you look at my speech in the Dáil on International Women's Day, we actually have women outperforming at third level qualification, outperforming their male counterparts. So I think ability and qualifications shouldn't be an issue. We've had an 18% increase in 40 years on female candidates in Dáil Éireann. We've gone from 8 in the 1980s to 36 today, just accounting for 22.5% for politicians. But we have to look, the ability is there. And as someone who is a former candidate in a party, I'd say, you know, women are not always given the same level of encouragement of male counterparts or even male candidates in the same party.
You come from a business background, Verona. The recommendation that there should be legislation introduced to force private companies to have 40% representation of women on their boards. How will that be viewed in the business community?
I don't think it'll be a difficulty. And I think the reality is any of us that see our younger generations now, and, you know, we wouldn't want to instill it any other way other than that we should be looking for equal society. I can't see that that's an issue. I think the bigger issue is that we have professions that women can't get into for some of the most, what you would call, you know, for practical resources. I mean, if a woman wants to become a lorry driver, truck driver, you've referenced my previous position in business. Like, a woman, if she leaves Donegal and travels to Dublin, doesn't actually have anywhere to go to the bathroom. Not in the same way that a man can. Now, that's just a basic human right. And it just brings home the level of inequality that's there. We need to make the provisions for gender equality to evolve naturally in society. So I agree with Matt. I think we need to do this. It shouldn't be about money. Certainly, that should not be the stalling point. And anything that can be brought in without referendum should be worked on and focused on.
OK. Orla O'Connor, before we leave it, what's the first response you'd like to see? What would you like to see government tackling first in relation to this?
Well, we absolutely would like to see the government make an announcement with regard to the referendum, because it needs to happen and the citizens have put in an enormous amount of time and consideration into this. But in relation to the rest of the recommendations that need legislative, or some, it's about policy direction. So we want the government to take this on board. What the citizens have done is they've handed to government a very, you know, clear framework for how you move forward for women and gender equality in Ireland. And we want the government to listen to that in the same way that the citizens have asked them to do today, and to start to integrate this. But, you know, Matt is right in terms of saying this is a seismic shift, and it absolutely is. This is a new way of looking at our public services and at women's equality overall. And the government need to make that decision to do that, because, you know, the citizens have really, you know, they couldn't have sent a stronger signal to the government today about how they want to see change happen. And I think one of the clear points is that the pace of change with regard to women's equality is too slow. And that's why this is so strong and why they've looked for things like quotas in it, because every woman in Ireland is tired of waiting for equality. So this is about taking action now.
OK, we'll leave that there, Orla O'Connor. And before you, Catriona Lynch, many thanks for joining us on that. We'll take a break.